Hi, I'm Kevin Craig, founder of Peacemaker Coaching, and I would really like to be able to help you believe that God blesses peacemakers, that the God Jesus Christ believed in actually exists and actually interferes with what would otherwise be the natural course of events, the natural course of history, and blesses peacemakers. It's a stunning concept when you really think about it. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, when a man's ways please the Lord, God makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, that's astonishing if you think about it, because your enemy will say, well, it was my idea. I wanted to be at peace with you. But the Bible says otherwise. Your enemy's heart and mind were changed by God because your ways pleased God. And that's the concept of blessing, that if your ways please God, God blesses you. God changes things in the world with relationship to you. It's an amazing concept. Not too many people believe it. Jesus went on to say, woe unto you, after he said, blessed are these people, blessed are those people. He then went on to say, but woe to those and woe to these. I think it's safe to say that if the peacemakers are blessed by God, the war makers, in the long run, are cursed by God. And again, this is a profound, even staggering concept. In Luke chapter 6, after saying, blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. In the Old Testament there were prophets of God who said, you need to be at peace. The false prophet said, oh no, we can conquer, we can be victorious, we can win this war. The true prophet said, nope. God is not on your side. God will not bless you. You will lose. You will be defeated. The false prophets said, oh, see how unpatriotic they are? And it may be the case that you might win in a battle, but in the long run you lose the war when God is not on your side. I'm astonished, and I guess a little depressed, that so many millions of Christians in America literally cheered at the prospect of America's armed forces going into Iraq and killing a million human beings, women, children, grandmothers. Iraq was a nation that gave religious freedom to Christians. Christians had freedom to go to church, to worship, and even to approach a Muslim in broad daylight in the middle of the street in public and say, hey, Mr. Muslim, would you like to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you like to find out why Jesus is the Messiah? In Saudi Arabia, you'd lose your head for doing that. But in Iraq, you had freedom to do that. And that's why Iraq had the largest population of Christians in the entire Arab world. The United States went into Iraq with the power of a war maker and made hundreds of thousands of Christians homeless or dead. Then they turned a government that was Christian-friendly and converted it into an Islamic theocracy under Sharia law. The total cost of human life in Iraq was over a million human beings. In fact, going back to 1990 and the beginning of the U.S. acts of war against Iraq, over 2 million human beings have been killed by the United States in Iraq. And yet Christians cheered. And I do believe that a Christian who can cheer the killing of innocent non-combatant civilians is a man who can yell or beat his wife. It's an employer who can treat his employees as chattel slaves. It's a person who can kick his dog. It takes a great kind of profound faith, powerful faith, to withstand the cheerleading of warmongers and war makers and to be a peacemaker. I want to help you have that faith. I want you to be able to resist the toxins and the pathogens and the viruses and develop a faith which serves as a kind of antibody to the propaganda of war and violence and the right to impose our will on other people by force. If you'd like to talk with me about this idea further, go down to the very, very bottom of this page. Type in your email address. Give me your phone number and tell me a time and a day when it's the best time to call you. I'll send you an email confirming that I'll be calling you on that day, and then we can talk for 15 minutes or half an hour. I can answer your questions, and I think we can determine whether this is a kind of program that's going to help you become a peacemaker and help you become blessed by God. Otherwise, you can keep reading on this page. There's a lot to read on this page, and you'll get a sense of whether you think peacemaker coaching is something for you. We offer two programs. Our full one-year program is a daily study of the five most important works in the history of Western civilization. We study Western civilization because Western civilization is largely, but not perfectly, Christian civilization. It's different than the ancient Greek and Roman civilizations, the ancient civilizations before Christ came on that first Christmas. These civilizations were ultra-violent, ultra-debauched and perverted. They fed Christians to wild animals and committed unspeakable immoralities. But after the fall of the Roman Empire and after the coming of Christ, there were those who, like King Ethelbert and King Arthur, and others who began to say that our governments should be patterned in accord with the teachings of Christ and the Ten Commandments. Human societies in the West began to be Christianized, ultimately leading to the abolition of slavery, and as Harvard scholar Steven Pinker has shown, less and less violence. But in the 20th century, that pattern was reversed, and we moved away from the teachings of the Prince of Peace toward a view that man is his own God, and that the real God is the state, the centralization of man's power. In the 20th century, those that I would say are war makers rather than peacemakers intentionally killed about a half a billion human beings in the 20th century. One scholar, R.J. Rummel, has shown that war makers killed their own people, a sum total of nearly 250 million, a quarter of a billion human beings were killed by their fellow men, by their fellow citizens, by members of their own country who were willing to follow the orders of a president or a leader, a Führer, a Stalin or a Lenin. Then there were those who were willing to take up arms against those who were not their own countrymen. And again, and a similar figure, nearly 200 or more million human beings killed in wars in the 20th century. And the United States has been particularly guilty of these wars, and we cheer them and we like to think that they were necessary, but a sober look at history shows they were not necessary. It was not necessary to take a government which allowed religious freedom for Christians and convert it into an Islamic theocracy under Sharia law. I think an argument can be made that it was not necessary for some 90 million, that's a high estimate, I admit, but 90 million people to become casualties in World War II, when all we did was prevent Poland and Czechoslovakia from being ruled by fascists in Berlin and instead consigned them to be ruled by communists in Moscow. Likewise, dropping atomic bombs on Japan only kept Japan from preventing communists from taking over China, and when the communists took over China, over 70 million human beings were killed by the policies of Mao Zedong. In no case has a war resulted in greater human prosperity or human freedom. And the costs of a half a billion human lives in the 20th century, and I'm not counting abortion. I agree, abortion is an act of violence, maybe an act of murder. But I'm talking about people who were already born. A half a billion human beings, 500 million, more than 10,000 human beings killed every day. And this kind of mass violence affects us. Unless our immune system, our faith, is powerful enough to withstand the propaganda and the cheerleading, we tend to believe that we're entitled to impose our will on other people by force. Our children, our wives, our students, our employees, our co-workers, others in general, others who become not brothers, but strangers. So go down to the bottom of this page if you're already convinced this is something you want to talk about, and we'll get on the phone and we'll chat. I'll explain the program to you. I guess I started telling you about our 365-day program of looking at the five most important works in the history of Western civilization. But before you get involved in our year-long program, I'd like you to sign up for a 95-day program. During that 95-day program, we'll expose some of those serious myths about Jesus and what he said in the whole of the Bible, because too many people believe that the Bible is a book that endorses war. In fact, the opposite is true. I'm a founder of an organization, a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization called Vine and Fig Tree, which takes its name from a number of passages in Scripture which speak of the day when human beings dwell safely and securely under their own vine and fig tree. And it's a day in which we beat our swords into plowshares and nations allow the Word of God to judge their policies. The Word of God is not relegated to our personal, private devotions, but it's a manual for public policy, and that includes beating swords into plowshares and not learning war. The Bible as a whole, its message, while it records wars, its message is that wars are evil. So in our 95-day program, we read through the entire Bible in chronological order, which allows us to harmonize several passages and not engage in repetitive reading of some passages, and to see the whole theme of the Bible in a way that way too many Christians do not know. They have a couple of proof texts for their war that they throw out. If you want a strong faith which provides immunity to the propaganda of war, you need to become a student of the Bible as a manual of public policy and international affairs. We'll also be reading another book, which pretty well sums up some of what we'll learn in the 365-day program. The book is called Healing Our World in an Age of Aggression, and the author, Dr. Mary Ruart, explains how the idea of being a peacemaker, the idea of doing good to our neighbor, as Jesus commanded, can help heal our society, our nation, and even the world. We are all victims of educational malpractice because our government schools have removed virtue and religion and morality from public schools, even though public schools were invented by Christians as a way of teaching everybody the Bible, not just clergy, not just the children of princes and kings, but everybody. Common people would go to common schools and they would understand the Bible. It's the Bible that created public schools. When the United States Supreme Court removed the Bible from public schools in the early 1960s, one of the justices admitted that the primary purpose of public education was to teach religion and morality, and religion and morality have both been removed from public schools, and we have been shortchanged. We don't understand the Bible. We don't understand history. We don't understand the growth and progress of peace in Western civilization for 2,000 years, and the recent outburst of war and conquest, totalitarian tyranny, and violence around the world as the world watched the first universally secular age. The 20th century was the first secular age since the birth of Christ. And before that, Christianity was exerting a great effect over societies. And even when it was inconsistent, and even when it was like a small child struggling to walk and falling occasionally, still there was great progress made. But that progress was almost completely obliterated in the 20th century as we turned our governments, instead of governments being under God, governments basically said, we are God. We can kill whom we want. And we learned the lesson that if governments can kick entire nations back to the Stone Age, we can kick our dog. These things have impact. These ideas have consequences. And as your coach at Peacemaker Coaching, I would like to get you mentally and spiritually fit to be able to withstand the tackles of the enemy, to withstand the propaganda of war makers, and become a strong and vibrant force for peace in our world today. Again, go down to the very bottom of this page. Tell me when you'd like, when a good time it is for us to talk. We'll get together, we'll talk about the program, and we'll see if it's a good fit. Thanks for listening. There are other audios in this page, and they'll probably start playing in your Yahoo player as soon as this audio is over. Listen to them if you'd like, or just go to the bottom of the page and let's get in contact.